When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
First time I did it for the hell of it. Stuck it down the back of my tongue and then swallowed it.
We are in the future.
Oh, it's the future. Happy New Year, everyone. Pinch Punch first of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I hope 2022 is better than 2021 and 2020.
Will it be better?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell, to be honest.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not.
What are your big hopes for... Sorry, should I do an intro?
Oh, do you want to do an intro? Sorry.
I'm Luke.
Yeah.
That's Pete.
Okay.
This is your home of sweet beans, the Luke and Pete show.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, that's that bit done.
Yeah.
Will you tell us what your hopes are for 2022?
I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to fly right. I'm going to stop eating quite so many Chinese meals.
You're going to fuck the haters?
Well, I'll let the haters fuck themselves.
Yeah.
They are quite self-destructive.
True,
by their very nature.
Yeah, true, yeah. Actually. You're going to stop eating Chinese food? Shut
I'm going to start to look...
Vince McMahon.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that video.
At any point, I could just pull the Vince McMahon chain,
that
emergency cord.
Oh my
god. And you'll
god.
Go off on one.
There's a gif, not really a gif, like a Twitter video of Vince McMahon sort of leaning over, I forget, it's an Irish wrestler, leaning over her and going, oh, like going, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he looks.
Is he medicated? I've seen the video. No, is he medicated?
No, he's just had a lot of work done. He's starting like a Captain Tom. He's got a very wet mouth.
Right.
Like his skin looks very dry and then his mouth looks very wet.
Who's got the wettest mouth in media?
Certain members of the Guardian Football Wiki group, in my opinion.
Robbie Savage.
Yes, he has got a bit of a wet mouth, yeah.
Yeah.
I get there sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes people on mic on some of the football podcasts I enjoy, they go...
Oh,
like,
right.
And there's something in their epiglottis or whatever they've got.
But you are an absolute sound pervert, though. You can notice stuff that other people don't notice. Yeah.
I also notice when people do bum edits and they edit in the middle of a breath. So they're like, yeah. And another thing. And then they keep talking. It really puts me off.
Don't show people listening where to find the edits.
We do. We are spotless. We are beyond reproach.
True. Yeah, we are good.
Yeah, we are good.
Very good. Got a good team
very
around
good.
Us.
Great team. Us. Great team.
What are your big ambitions for the year?
It's every fucking year, isn't it?
It does go
now. We all had plans last year, and look what happened. You know
what happened last year?
God, stuff.
Yeah.
We all got a little bit older.
Yeah.
What was like the new kind of advances in stuff last year?
Do you know who I feel for?
What?
The freelance journalists pitching their fucking columns.
Why?
Oh, I've got a good idea for a 2022 new you column.
Travel blog.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. It'll be a big thing. Sub-editors and editors of sections in newspapers and websites will be inundated.
Mm.
We're freelance people pitching stuff that's not very interesting about what's happening in 2022, and it'll be list articles,
right?
It'll be ways to get fit, it'll be habits to get out of,
it'll be the NFT revolution,
goal setting. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that,
right?
Because I still don't really know what an NFT is,
right?
Will people understand them more in 2022? You're a futurologist, famously. Do you think that's something that people are going to get involved with?
There is, I'm still yet to see many examples of NFTs being used for good.
Yeah.
Is it Sean Lennon? One of the Lennon. Yeah, Sean Lennon, John
right.
Lennon's son.
Yeah.
He's got big into the NFTs recently. And
right.
A lot of NFTs are just someone's drawn a picture and they've just put a lot of hats, beards, clothing on their little characters, like it might be a monkey or a chimp or a potato or something, and they'll just sort of go, oh, I'm dropping like 100 versions of this, you know, same little picture I've done on Photoshop, and sell them off. It's very interesting, but I'm yet to see some NFT art where I go, that is an interesting use of the form. I just don't know why anyone's buying this.
People saying the Sean Lennon, that's just your dad's records, mate.
That's just, yeah,
what are you doing?
But he's selling some like kind of, he's trying to sort of say, if you're like kind of into like blockchain and like NFTs in particular, and you're making your collection, like he's basically said, this ain't your daddy's NFTs. Like, you're buying these NFTs that are really childish. These drawings that are really childish. What I'm selling and the team that I'm like involved in, they're like man's NFTs. And what he's got, what? And the kind of pictures he's selling are these fucking skeletons. Ooh, spooky. Oh, spooky grown-up skeletons with like beards and shit. And it's just, it's very fashion, and it's all about drops, and it's all about sneakers that look a little bit different to the other sneakers and stuff like that. And it's all...
But what can people actually do with the NFT?
You've just bought a picture. You've just bought the rights to a slight deviation to another picture.
What's to stop... So you buy... This is potentially a stupid question, so bear with me. You buy an NFT.
Yeah.
So you buy it for $5,000.
Yeah.
And you basically got the rights, the copyright, whatever, to a picture. And you go, by the way, look at this NFT I've got, and you send me it on WhatsApp. I screenshot that. And say, I've got the rights to this NFT.
Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. No one can stop me.
Well, you could do that with a picture of the Mona Lisa, presumably, couldn't you? Nobody would believe you.
But what I'm saying is, in the modern day, no one fucking cares who owns the rights to it.
Yeah, that is true.
So it's a bit of a waste of time.
Yeah, things keep improving and keep getting better, but I'm yet to see something that the killer app. I mean, there's you know, every NBA team, everyone has got a bit of IP, a kind of like, it's a bit of a land grab, it's a bit of a cash grab. I'm yet to see something that actually gives someone a bit of value for what they're paying for. You know what I mean? I can understand something like, you know, the Wu-Tang Crew clan and that record. At least it was a record. At least it was something that no one else had. It was the Skrelly, wasn't it?
Martin Skrelly, the farmer, bro.
But then he got bought out after he went bankrupt.
He got his assets seized.
So that got resold again. But at least that's a thing. At least that's something you got. Well, that's a thing that no one else can have physically. But it is kind of like, you sound like such a granddad sort of talking about it, like, oh, well, what's the point? Because you're not owning it. But ownership physically is so kind of last century anyway, so I understand why it's moved on. I understand why
you don't see a lot of the money you have.
Well,
really, ever, do you?
It's an extension for me of the Fortnite skins. It's the extension for me for the PUBG hat. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've got this fucking hat, and you know, new video games. I think I think Ubisoft are getting involved in them. You have to play like 600 hours, and then you're liable. You can win this hat or mask for your character, and you can also sell it on Ubisoft, get a cut. It's on this blockchain that's a bit more responsible environment wise. It will get better, it will get more clear, and people will get their heads around it more, but at the moment it's very sneakerhead kind of territory for me. It's very kind of like, oh my god, Kanye's dropping these Yeezys that have, I don't know, a different button than the other one, sort of thing. And it's kind of the actual,
but they'll make more than one copy of that, won't they?
Yeah, but it's a very limited drop. You're limiting the amount of drops. I mean, I own a couple of like so rare football cards, and they are, you know, because nobody gives a toss about that particular website that I bought them on. They're kind of worth a sort of thing. They're on the Ethereum blockchain. They're, you know, $20 each or something, and they just sat there, and like, no one's ever going to buy them off me.
Why did you buy them then?
I want to get on the fucking...
You want to get involved?
Look, I want to fucking get on it, mate. Yeah. It was a year ago. I was young. I was reckless, mate.
Yeah.
I just wanted a little blockchain bobby.
Could you print the card out and put it on your desk in your shed?
Well, that's what I mean. It's interesting. I'm just yet to see something else. I go, oh, yeah, I'd buy that. That's worth it.
The big story of 2022 is going to be Pete, NFT millionaire. I actually know someone whose brother has made a million off NFTs.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Is he an artist or is he just...
I think so, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Fair, mad, look, right? It's good. Look, it decentralises the money that artists can make, though the art that I'm seeing getting sold for decent money is fucking embarrassing, the amount of stuff. You know, if Garry Kasparov is like, it's so, I made the mistake of going in one of those little Twitter rooms where you can listen to people yapping.
Oh, what's it called again?
Oh, it's a fucking room. It's just rooms, isn't it? It's just Twitter rooms. And I went in an NFT one and it was fucking brilliant. A lot of people just talking about how shit Budweiser are and how shit Pepsi are and how shit these agencies are that know about the NFTs, kind of making a lot of money off these big multinational conglomerates and doing... I can't believe this has become an NFT 2022 show.
Particularly as I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
And I don't. I know even less, but I'm having a fucking crack. They're whinging about the fact that how much these... There's like two or three agencies in America that have got on this quite early and they're selling their work, they're selling their kind of expertise to big companies. And so like Budweiser are releasing, I think, a bottle with some fucking cool dude shades on and stuff, and it looks shit and everyone's going, oh, that's shit. But the other stuff that they, the other stuff that these people respect is also shit as well. It's just not done by a cynical marketing company effectively. But they were sort of talking about, they're going, look, and they were talking about this song that this woman came on and said, yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, making a shitload of NFTs, and me and my friend made this song about minting NFTs, and it's really good. And everyone's going, yeah, I've heard it. It's really good. I just want to kick back. And I listened to this song they'd made about minting an NFT, and it was the most embarrassing piece of trash I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, this is, there's not a lot of good stuff kicking around the NFT space.
Can they NFT that?
Their NFT in the song, they minted it. It's a song about minting NFTs, very meta in a Web 3.0 metaverse kind of style. There's just a lot of trash art getting thrown around, and that's almost not what it's about. It's about owning something that's decentralized and being a part of something I don't think many people truly understand. We'll get there though.
Do you want to talk about a man who got bitten by otters?
Yes, I would like to talk about a man who is bitten to bits by
otters. The idea of people listening to our show on the way to work or whatever. Yeah, okay, yeah, Pete's talking about NFTs. And they maybe zone out for 5 seconds and all of a sudden we'll talk about otters.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because this is a story. I enjoyed the NFT chat. I don't understand any of it. Maybe our listeners can help us. However, when I say that kind of stuff, the more tedious end of our listenership get in touch.
Right.
And send
emails. Do we have any of those? I've never met any of them. They're all lovely.
Okay.
Intelligent.
You are the good guy on this. You're the good guy on the show. I'm obviously the bad guy on every show I'm on. So a story we missed towards the end of December was a guy who was walking through a park in Singapore. Right. A British guy lives in Singapore. Early morning walk. Very nice. I imagine the parks in Singapore are beautiful. And he was set upon, chased, pinned down, and bitten 26 times in 10 seconds, apparently. By, this is the key bit, a family of otters.
Wrong'uns, Asbore family, more like.
And I just think to myself, is that's terrifying, but is it more terrifying because it's otters? And I'm also annoyed because the people who covered the story, and I'm looking at you, Samantha Locke of The Guardian.
A broadly anti-otter.
The collective noun for an otter,
right,
for otters, is a romp of otters.
A romp of otters.
Why miss the opportunity to use that?
Because romps, tabloid speak, in The Guardian.
Oh, true, actually, yeah.
You can't use that. But
by a romp of otters.
They would think that they were using tabloid speak when they weren't. And they'd be like, well, you need to explain that a romp of otters. Is she going to put that in, I suppose?
She should have put it in. Otters. Maybe it's a subreddit changed it. I don't know. Maybe it's not Samantha's to blame, but she's just trying to do a good, honest joke. Graham George Spencer was the guy. He says, I actually thought I was going to die. They were going to kill me. His friend came along and ran up and started screaming to scare them away.
Screaming?
Yeah. I'm presuming because they were scary because they were terrified. But apparently, this is like a thing. This is like a thing.
Right.
So, in addition to the story, there's a guy in Singapore earlier last year who was bitten on the leg by an otter and he was 77 years old. There's apparently a couple of people were confronted by an aggressive romp of otters in Alaska last year as well. And there's been a lot of incidents of them attacking dogs, attacking children and adults. Now, to me, if you walk through a park and you see, I don't know, a fucking bear, you're conditioned to know that's dangerous.
Yeah.
The otter thing is more terrifying because you think they look quite cute. I like the video. I like the video of them, you know, cracking holding a nut hands. On their holding hands holding or cracking hands, a nut on their fucking chest while they're swimming on their back. They're apparently vicious, these bastards.
I mean, what did you have in your pockets, though? Could you have had like a bit of sushi or something?
Monster
or like
munch.
Some fish.
Some monster munch. But there's different types of otters, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, those sea otters, they're fucking, not sea otters. Is it, what are the ones that I think you get them in South America and they are fucking giant? I think they're just called giant otters. They are fucking gigantic. They look like human beings in suits.
I like it.
They would take you down in a second.
I love an otter.
But you famously had an encounter with a hippo that you weren't scared of.
Wasn't scared of, no. I've never had anything. Well, because there were bigger boys there.
I was in a bar. Yeah.
I could drink him under the table.
But you didn't think at any point, geez, this is quite scary. Because they're statistically very, very dangerous animals.
That's why they shot his mama. Mama. But yeah, I got sent a picture of that otter like last week for some reason.
That hippo?
Sorry, that hippo. Sorry, not
yeah,
otter.
Yeah. But how are you feeling about being attacked by otters?
I reckon I could take a few of them. I'd stamp on it.
What's your cut off?
Stamp on an otter.
Why'd you make it so cruel?
What do you mean? They're doing it because they're biting me.
Because they're defending themselves, aren't they?
Why are they defending? What? They were in a park, weren't they? Running up and defending. And defense. The best defense is a good offense.
You always get.
The sound of things.
In these kind of articles, you always get like, right, okay, you can imagine it in the newsroom. We're going to need a quote from some kind of otter group. Do you know what I mean? So you get like, oh, there's a guy here who's apparently a member of Otter Watch and the Otter Working Group that tracks otters in the area, saying that those otters are... By the way, they're not even official garden otters. They're not even in there as an exhibit.
Yeah.
They apparently just pop in every so often. And they said that they it was early morning, so it was probably quite dark and they were confused. By the man.
The big otter.
So they just bit him. It's just a mad story, isn't it? Have you ever met anyone who's been bit? You would never meet anyone who's been bitten by one. It's fucking crazy.
It's insane.
Absolutely insane.
Good God. Oh, look, I finished that TV show we were talking about a little bit ago.
Speaking of otters, did you like the otters at the end?
Midnight Mass. It was all right, actually, yeah. I stuck with it and it got silly, but all good, really.
Okay, so people listening who haven't seen it, it's a show. I'm sure Pete probably likes it more than I do. It's fine. It's worth watching. Mm. But if you don't want to be spoiled, maybe just skip this next minute or two.
Right.
Because we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Let's just talk about it.
Okay.
What I liked about it
was
it was camp. But what I didn't like about it was it wasn't camp enough.
Right. Okay.
The angel is basically a vampire with the fedora hat and the trench coat. Mm. That's class. So they didn't lean into it enough.
No, I guess not. He didn't sort of like... It would have been funny if he spoke.
No, because the thing is, if you don't lean into it enough, I'm there thinking, why have you put him in a trench coat and a fedora?
What?
He's like, been roaming the earth for like thousands of years.
In a trench coat and a fedora,
but he's never had that cloak. Presumably he's never had those clothes on before.
Where does he keep it?
Yeah,
because he flies around all over the Gavin. He doesn't fly around with his cloak, does he, I suppose? Yeah.
I liked the priest. He was brilliant. Monsignor,
he was very good.
Pruitt, whatever he's called, he was amazing.
I've sat on our dog Monsignor Buckley.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, and what do you think about the fella bursting into flames on the boat?
Could he not have done that by himself? Like, did he have to bring Nia Jax from WWE into it?
Is that who it is?
No.
I wanted him to prove.
She looks like Nia Jax from WWE.
I think he wanted just to prove it to her, didn't he?
He went, aha!
You're never going to believe this.
You're never going to believe this.
But watch this. Yeah.
If you didn't believe it now, like later in the night, you'd sort of believe it, wouldn't you?
Where'd you rate it?
I was surprised how many of the main characters they killed off. Well, we're not really killed off because they're vampires, aren't they?
Yeah.
But
watch it with the partner you've got access to?
Yeah.
Did she like it?
Yeah, she liked it. It was good. Apparently, it's part of a. Is it part of this kind of? Is it the House on Hill Haunting? All these fucking. I don't really watch a lot of horror, so the House of Hill Haunting horror.
Yeah,
that thing.
Same
cast as well. I think.
Oh, right.
Apparently, it's like three or four different dramas, three or four different TV shows. They have the similar sort of casts in there. I think so.
I've never watched any of those. Have you?
No, I haven't. I'm not a big horror guy, but I might be because the woman who looks like Nia Jax, she's apparently what they call a scream queen. She's in a lot of horror films. So
I think that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Just being like the, I'd like to be like this. Remember, like Emily Booth from she used to do Bits, the video game TV show. She used to do a bit of Channel 4 work, but in the main, she was just a mainstay of slightly sexy British horror films in the 90s.
Yeah,
which is like a weird kind of subculture that nobody really is into. In the grand scheme of things,
I just think if you're an actor and you're not, it's probably quite hard to get big things going on.
Right,
have a bit of fun.
Have a bit of fun, yeah. Enjoy, yeah. Just so you, do, are just you, gonna, are you but gonna, imagine like being in part of the horror thing in America is probably a lot of fun.
Are you going to rebrand yourself as a horror guy in 2022 then?
What, like get really into like Fright Fest and stuff? Yeah. Like Chris Tilly from Clash of the Titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll just I will always drag every film I watch back to Midnight Mass. as if it's like a Hammer horror from the 50s.
If you had to rebrand yourself.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
What would you do?
Well, I mean,
steampunk,
obviously.
Whenever I see anything steampunk, I will send you a picture of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And Only Fools and Horses. Mm. Anything like that, really.
There was a lot of Only Fools and Horses Christmas jumpers knocking about, weren't there?
There was, yes. Imagine steampunk.
Only Fools and Horses.
Only Fools and Horses. Like,
imagine Goodnight Sweetheart.
The car is, like, all got cogs in it.
Yeah.
Rodney's a big cog.
So it's just Only Fools and Horses with cogs.
The bar doesn't even need someone to lift it up. Somebody, a little cog.
Steam powered,
yeah.
And then,
yeah, it's a, yeah.
So you've basically just reimagined Only Fools and Horses, but with cogs.
Only cogs and horses.
Buster Mayfield's playing Uncle Albert. He's got like a coggy pipe.
He would fit in the steampunk.
Everything that Del Boy gets for the market turns out just to be cogs in boxes. Just try and sell them.
Hey, every cog needs a rod, knee, so there you go.
It does. Let's have a break. And when we come back, we'll do some emails and we'll also do a bit more of this chat. So we'll see you in a sec.
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's time for more Luke and Pete Show.
Oh, is that the time? What time it was.
It's time for more Luke and Pete Show, mate. We've got to do some emails.
Who have you turned into?
I don't know.
Terry.
Chris has said hello on the old email list we got here. Evening chaps, I'm currently catching up on episode, so I apologise if you've had the answer already to the question. Why steal a catalytic converter?
Well, that's going back some time.
Well, I think we kind of know it's all full of precious metals,
isn't it?
It's got titanium or something in it.
What is it?
A platinum. A couple of years ago, my dad fell victim to the crime of cat converter theft. It was in broad daylight in a public car park in town while we were at a Barnsley match. My dad took his car to the garage on the Monday, and the mechanic explained that people are stealing them because they have platinum inside. I've just done a quick Google search, and it appears that the standard catalytic converter has 3 to 7 grams of platinum inside.
Huh.
My dad drives a Honda Jazz, and in the same week his was stolen, one of the presenters of a motoring YouTube channel I watch also had his stolen from his Honda Jazz. I don't know if this is a coincidence or if the Jazz has a typically high level of platinum inside its cat. I'm enjoying that we foreshortened the word catalytic into cat. Like we're really on nodding terms with what we're talking about here. But maybe the Honda Jazz is just a big
sweet
floozy.
Yeah.
Just letting its cat converter, its cat con, just kind of flop out a bit.
Well, I've got
I can
cats.
Get that easily.
If I said to the wife I've got access to, there's a high level of platinum inside our cat, she would be asking questions big time. Our mate Vish drives a Honda Jazz, famously.
Yeah.
So maybe, does he know what gold mine he's sitting in?
I'm going to take steal his.
That would be quite an obscure thing to do, wouldn't it?
Imagine if I steal
your colleague's catalytic converter.
Who drives in? I drive in, so I could steal my own. Jules drives in sometimes. That's about it, really, isn't it? I could steal Jules. Jules got a big car as well.
She's just very small.
No, she's got a big Range Rover or something, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I'd climb under that, and it'd be really easy because, like, I imagine a Range Rover is all kind of like it's all like proper, like mechanical under there because there's a Range Rover.
Yeah. Do you know? Like in this probably can't happen now because cars are different.
No.
But it was a big thing in TV shows back in the day and films to get yourself a little ruler, put it down the side of the window of a car, fiddle about a bit and the lock would pop up and you'd get in. And then all you do is apparently find two wires under the dashboard,
connect them
touch
together.
Them together and the car starts.
Yes.
Was that ever a thing in real life?
Yeah, of course it was, yeah. Yeah.
When you turn the key, you're linking the two together and it creates a spark and it starts the engine.
Yeah.
So you just pull them out of the lock and touch them and that's all you got to do.
Clonk. Yeah. Really easy stuff. And I guess but nowadays, I think lads just pull on the side of the door. They just sort of pull on the side of the door, get their hand in. Because if you don't give a shit about messing it up, yeah.
Why would you nick it if you're just going to mess it up?
Well, you pull on the end of the thing. No, you're not nicking it, but you pull on the top of the window, get your hand in, and then open it up and see what's inside, basically. A lot of people say it's probably safer if you just leave your door unlocked because then they don't fuck up your car.
I'm not
going to
do that, am I?
Why?
Because that's ridiculous.
No, is that ridiculous?
Because they're going to fucking...
Well, they're going to pull on the top of your... If your door's not open, they're going to pull on the top of your car, aren't they?
I've got an alarm and an immobiliser in my car.
So I don't think it's going to matter. What, you got one of those little... What's an immobiliser?
It stops people being able to drive it.
Is it one of those like... Because I saw like a really fancy Range Rover in my street. And someone had got one of those the steering wheel locks things. Those yellow things from the 80s.
Yeah.
They had one of them in
there. Most people in my neighbourhood have got one of those. They've got those.
But why?
I guess it's a good question. I think the way my immobiliser works, I think, is if it doesn't detect the key in the car, it sets the alarm off.
Right, okay.
So it stops you doing anything until you press a button on the key.
Yeah.
And if it's not present, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
So you can steal stuff from in it. There's nothing in my car apart from a box of chewing gum, an iPhone connecting cable, and a chapstick that's leaked.
How is it leaked? What, it was like melted?
I think it melted or something.
Some dashboard wipes. I've got some masks.
Because you play Hero Quest in the car.
I've got some dairy milk as well, which kind of melted.
Don't believe
and
in that in the
back.
Car.
No.
That is an absolute mug's game.
If he wants like empty cans of sugar-free Carabao, this guy is going to go hog wild on my ride, to be honest.
I used to have loads of empty crisp packets in the car from when you used to ride in it, but I stopped.
I've ridden it once.
And you ate a load of crisps in the bag.
I ate one bag of crisps.
And left the bag in there.
Yeah, and then I texted you and said, John, Luke, one of the Bible lot.
Yeah.
Luke, I just left a bag of crisps in the back of your car. I didn't mean to. But crisps are delicious.
Unacceptable. let's do this other email here from Simon in Norwich. Hello to you, Simon. By the way, if you are still listening to this, please don't steal my car. Or Pete's.
Steal his car.
Pete's is probably easier to steal than mine.
Why?
It's smaller, cheaper.
It's 2018. It's probably got updated security features.
I've seen your car. There's no way that's the case. Simon in Norwich says, hi, guys. Your discussion about Yakult. Do you know what this happens on the Luke and Pete show?
What?
Because we have a big backlog of emails. It takes us ages to get to them. Someone will go, your discussion about Yakult. And I think to myself, God, I hope this isn't going to be... I hope I'm not going to have to know what I'm talking about here because I don't remember discussing Yakult at all. Reminded me of a stag weekend I went on in 2008. What were you doing in 2008, Peter?
What was I doing in 2008? I was working
XFM,
for
probably.
XFM, yeah.
Yeah, having a lovely old time.
But probably looked
Were you working
terrible.
With Alex?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Were you very tired?
It might have been when you turned the Christmas lights on in,
in Holloway,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Simon picks up the story. He says, after three solid days on the beer, the breakfast buffet on the final morning was a welcome sight. It had the full array of goodies, including Actimel, which is the, he describes as the
lovely.
Little chavvy brother of Yakult. I don't know if it is. It's a new kid on the block in the Actimel.
Actimel.
Don't think you can say chav anymore, in it either. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, is that what came in on the email? Oh, yes, because Rory was telling me about this email. It really made me laugh, the chavvy version.
Yeah. I don't think people say chav anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
Offensive.
It's quite offensive.
You should probably stop saying it then. two attendees decided to take on the Actimel challenge, an ad campaign at the time promoting unsuspecting people goaded into 2 weeks of gut rehab. The chaps in question drank a month's worth each in one sitting, checked out of the hotel and joined us on the minibus for the 5 hours journey back to Norfolk. 3 hours in and rumbling noises were heard. 10 minutes later, the shout of I'm going to explode came from the back. The bus pulled into a pub car park and with just one stall in the gents, a urinal took the full brunt of a long weekend's cheap beer and terrible food mixed in with pink strawberry Actimel.
Oh.
Safe to say the challenge was an instant success. Love the show, Simon in Norwich.
No one needs that in their lives.
No, it's the kind of thing you would do, Peter.
Well, I do like delicious yogurt drinks.
Yeah.
I'll drink anything yogurty.
It's quite a 2008 story, this. It sounds like an In-Betweeners episode, doesn't it?
Well, you should like it then, shouldn't you?
I love the In-Betweeners.
Love the In-Betweeners.
We haven't gotten that real big debate, all of us, about In-Betweeners versus Peep Show. And I was the only one who voted In-Betweeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stand by it.
Didn't see the Peep Show film, did you? Didn't see a
Peep Show film.
No, there isn't. No. There isn't In-Betweeners.
But
film.
I don't like David Mitchell or Robert Webb.
Yeah, I mean, you don't like comedy. You don't like comedians, you don't like comedy, you don't like people trying to be funny.
True.
You think it's unbecoming. It's childish. You think men and women over 30 should not try and be funny.
No, my feelings are very complicated. I think really old people are funny.
Right.
They kind of that's
really
my kind
old
of, that's kind of my fucking kind of start type of humour.
Right, okay.
I think people who try to be funny, it's not my thing.
Right.
Possibly because I'm very naturally funny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it just oozes out of you.
Yeah.
Like Actimel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like rotten,
sometimes
sour
it explodes
Actimel.
Out of me into a gents urinal. Anyway, on that bombshell, literally a bombshell almost.
Yeah.
A bombshell of vomit. It's time to say goodbye, but we will be back on Thursday for the second show of 2022. Why don't you get in touch with us and tell us how your year is going so far? On Thursday, it'll be the 6th of January by that point, so we'll be a good 5 or 6 days in.
Yeah.
Tell us how your year's going so far. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We are at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Instagram. Also, tell us what you think about... We haven't even talked about our new logo, Pete.
Have we not?
Got a new logo a few weeks ago.
Got a new logo.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's good.
It makes us both look really handsome, even though our heads have opened up, like in that film Hannibal.
It makes us look like when we lose our hair, when we're older, I'll be all right, I reckon.
I think I look like
a little dude.
Why do you have... So for those who haven't seen the artwork, you can just look on your phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our heads are open with things coming out of our head, and it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Why do you have a Game Boy and chopsticks coming out, and I have a toilet coming out of mine?
And a CD.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it. The problem is I can't look at it for too long because I just get distracted. I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You didn't do it, did you?
No, I didn't do it.
Pay someone else to do it.
That's good. Yeah.
Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the destination. Thank you very much if you've listened and sent an email in so far. We really appreciate it. We will be back on Thursday for more of this, and we bloody look forward to speaking to you then. Say goodbye, Peter.
Farewell.
It's goodbye from me as well.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.